Oh God.
Oh my God.
Inches or something is probably fine. It's a vor thing. Just eat the whole mic.
A what thing?
Vor. Full consumption. I mean, that's more about eating an entire human in one bite, but
what the fuck are you talking
have
about?
You not heard of vor?
No.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think of like a good example of vor.
Is this like a weird subreddit that
no, this is something that I'm unfamiliar with too.
I'm shocked.
See, if Nick's unaware of it, yeah. I feel totally vindicated.
It's an entirely stupid concept. I don't know. It's people that have a fetish about being consumed whole. I think like if you think like, about it in like a Transformer, the planet eating thing, Omicron.
No.
What about American Gods?
Sure. Yeah. Actually,
the vagina lady.
Correct. That would be a kind of like a vor.
Or Return to Oz when the trees eat the people.
There you go.
I have no vor. Idea.
Yeah. You're way too young for that one.
Yeah. It's
I'm all of 4 years younger than you.
Yeah.
You sweet summer child.
And it was entirely irrelevant in my age. Like that movie sucked. Yeah. And it's also why my friend is afraid of being eaten by a tree.
I'd rather be eaten by a tree than whatever happened to that woman in Evil Dead's 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, fair.
I haven't seen those in a while either.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. I can't believe I don't remember that specific
I bet I haven't watched that movie since college.
Yeah, easily. Same.
Evil Dead 2 holds up.
Yeah. I mean, Evil Dead 1 is rough.
Evil Dead 2 was always the better version of Evil Dead 1.
Yeah, that's the chainsaw hand movie, right?
Yeah. And Army of Darkness is solid.
For a movie that is entirely one-liners, that movie is great.
Yes. This is my boomstick.
Oh, no. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to halfway through this. I'm just going to mute you guys and go off on my own little rant and I won't be able to hear you to stop. And then I'm going to send you that isolated audio.
Honestly, you guys have recorded enough that you could probably get an AI voice at this point.
Oh,
probably.
There's enough content for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just type up some scripts. Bing, bang, boom.
I'm still surprised that Peter even asked for photos. He should have enough photos of our faces that he can match up anything.
It's kind of amazing that I don't have all the angles at this point, but I don't.
And all the sexy faces.
Well, it's
and
the cool faces, right? Yeah, I mean, we're going to use a screenshot from Bringing Out the Dead, where it's just Patricia Arquette looking like she smelled a really rank fart, and Nick Cage just looking like he's about to die.
As he does through most of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually his healthiest look in the entire movie.
I'm about to die.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have, like, the severe bags or, like...
Yeah.
Like, he gets looking rough.
Yeah. Props to the makeup department because he looks really fucking rough, but realistically rough. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like I could conceive of seeing somebody like that.
He looks insane.
Yeah.
You know what else is rough?
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
The segue. Welcome back to Cage Match, colon, a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage.
Your segue, Sean.
I'm Sean.
I'm out.
That's Nick. And we're here with our producer.
Peter. Hi. This is a solid ass start. We're doing great.
This is what happens when I'm not in the room with you guys.
I know.
And we have our returning guest, John. Hi, John.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thanks. I must not have fucked it up too bad last time.
Nah, you were great.
Can I curse on this podcast?
Nope. Okay. This is a Christian podcast. Oh, yeah. So we were talking about how the left has won football and like Budweiser in the like culture wars because wokeness or whatever the fuck.
Sure.
Oh, and tomboys, that's another one. Tomboys are too gay.
Yeah, we got
what? Tomboys.
It's insane. Yeah. So yeah, but we were Sean and I were talking earlier about like we should reclaim Christianity. That'll really fuck them up.
How would you go about that?
You got to make Christianity woke.
Yeah, you'd have to redo Christianity.
Jesus was pretty woke.
Yeah.
Nick, I'm Nick.
All right, Nick. Nick, you missed it. We're a Christian podcast now.
Yeah.
Weren't we always?
Correct.
We're all about family values.
Oh, but new leftist Christianity. You can swear. You can swear on this podcast. Oh, Christianity. Fuck yeah.
So on this podcast, we take 64 Nicolas Cage films and we're whittling it down to the best one as decided by Nick and myself.
And once or twice me. Yeah. No, that's perfect.
How many times have you?
Just two. For now. We'll see. Maybe this week. Who knows?
We'll talk about it later, but this feels so fucking obvious to me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there. That's the end of the show.
Yeah. No, let's do it now and cut back. It's a flash forward, people.
We're going to have to reverse engineer our argument. We'll start with our solution.
Oh, no, this is Tenet.
And then go back. Yeah. And
that's what debate is. Can I get subtitles?
No, they won't make sense.
Muffled yelling.
This is funnier with you guys there.
It's certainly easier, I guess, in a lot of ways.
I finally get Nick's whole deal when I don't have to look him in the eye.
The system works.
Yeah, it's the eye contact that really throws it.
All right, so Bringing Out the Dead, 1999, Martin Scorsese. Let's start there.
Nicolas Cage plays a very tired ambulance driver.
Bedraggled?
Yeah,
very bedraggled.
Bedraggled? I was trying to think of a beau word.
Yeah, bedraggled.
Bedraggled,
I think that's the word.
Yeah. Formerly well-regarded EMT, seems like.
Just real burnt out.
Yeah.
Burnt out.
He's got the yips equivalent.
Yeah. He's hit a rough patch of saving people's lives.
He hasn't saved anyone in months.
Or not.
Which you don't want. You don't want your EMT to have a rough patch.
Yeah, to have a bad day.
Right.
You call an ambulance, he comes in, he's wiping his tears away. It's okay, I got this.
Got another one lost. Where's your dad?
I was going to say, you look at the cost of how much an ambulance is these days. Maybe you do want that. Maybe you would rather die than be in debt forever.
I think you probably still pass debt along if you die.
No.
Oh.
I have talked to a friend whose father recently deceased, and it all gets forgiven.
I mean, that's the only cool thing I've ever heard about.
Except student loan debt.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That is probably true. That passes.
Oh, I know it's
generationally.
True.
And snake skins.
There's no easy outs. If I die, I have to saddle somebody else with a fucking shit time. Looking at you, Josie.
Tell your friend though, people will come out of the woodwork and be like, hey, your dad had this much money in stocks. Do you want it? And as soon as you take that, they are going to claim they're going to put all the debt on him.
This friend is also your friend.
This friend is your friend. This friend is my friend. This friend is Adam or maybe Pete.
Good work.
Thank you.
Vamping. That's not vamping, I guess. But
I sing to a child all the time, so it's a lot of stupid ad-libbing.
It's a skill.
Yeah. So, John, had you ever seen this one before?
No. Never even heard of it, honestly, before it came up on the first season.
It's a lesser Scorsese, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's weirdly a quiet Cage conversation, too. I don't hear it come up very much in the Cage conversations. It was one that I watched growing up. I don't know how or why.
How old were you when you first saw this movie?
Easily maybe a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna be eight.
No. I was mature enough to handle. I've never been mature enough to handle anything. But I was cool. I was a cool kid.
Yeah.
I watched the indie Nick Cage films. It's a weird one. I've brought it up a couple times, and the only weirdly enough, when we were doing this podcast from the first round, I was working with a guy who used to be an EMT, and he heard about the podcast because we're cool, and he was like, "Oh, Bringing Out the Dead," and I was like, "Fuck yeah, dude! You're the only other person I've ever met who's seen that." I mean, it's a Scorsese movie still, so it's got its ups.
Arquette is the female lead, right?
So yeah, she plays.
You can forget that name real quick,
just her performance.
Yeah, terrible.
She's there.
She is physically there.
She does.
So is
the lines.
So is the guy who plays her dad.
Yeah.
The joke there, people, is that guy. Is
I think
incredible.
He had more intensity though.
I'm just gonna MSK 3000 this thing. I'm just gonna talk over you guys. You guys have a conversation. I'm just going to chime in over here and make my own jokes.
We'll actually insert your jokes into funny spots.
That's not how they're meant to be heard, Nick.
Your jokes aren't meant to be funny at all?
No, they're funny. They're just never at the right time.
Never timely or poignant.
These woke-ass comedians.
He's over there telling jokes about Napoleon and shit.
That's actually probably relevant right now because of that movie that came out recently. But you haven't heard of the Napoleon one? I think it's, I don't know.
Is it
it's
Poor Things? Because literally Poor Things is the only movie that anybody's talked to me about.
Oh man, do we want to talk about Poor Things?
We did a little bit last time with Daryl, but
so good.
Yeah, I could hear so your take on Poor Things.
I think it's one of my top, definitely 10, maybe 5 movies of all time.
Oh, seriously?
I fucking loved that movie.
Yeah. I didn't like some of the director of photography work in there. I think that some of the choices visually, like, I get why they did some of them, but it didn't work for me as much. You know,
I loved it. The score was my one bit. It was tended to be that way, but it was very fucking jarring a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Hans Zimmer? is it like just a very Brechtian score? Like,
I don't even know what that means.
Whew, okay. Like, intended to be off-putting and like take you out of moments.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Think like certain things of like Sweeney Todd or whatever. We can move on.
Yeah,
this is not a theater podcast.
I kind of like it though. Only Christian theater though.
Oh yeah. Ooh. What's your favorite Christian play?
Book of Mormon.
Okay. I've never seen it, but I am obligated to say that Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat is my favorite musical of all times.
Why?
I lost a bet in college.
Of course you did.
Mine would be Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
The Spider-Man musical? Is that the one that was like critically panned and cost millions of dollars?
Yeah. You mean with The Edge writing the music for it?
Yes.
Fantastic.
I would see that shit.
You can't.
I know.
Didn't somebody die?
People got hurt.
Yeah, that movie was that play was pretty cursed.
So bringing out the dead.
I genuinely thought this movie was good. It meandered a bit. This is a shocker of all shockers. We were sitting down to dinner last night and I said, hey, I've got to start this movie. And my wife, I'm sitting down to dinner. I was like, I got to start this movie. It's kind of late, so deal with it. Because I knew it wouldn't be a movie that she would dig. And I figured she'd just bounce after we finished eating. But she stuck around for all but the last 15 minutes of the movie. Mm. And then she went and did laundry instead. So that's kind of her opinion of it.
That's actually a pretty good review for me.
Yeah, the fact that she sat through that much of a 2-hour fucking weird movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always forget how much comedy and how much pretty dark comedy, but how strange that movie can get for such a serious topic.
Yeah, I laughed out loud. I LOL'd, which is pretty rare for me, actually.
At what point?
I don't remember, but I remember doing it.
Was it Gris?
Gris was fucking fantastic. So
was
good.
Is Gris going to have to take his sunglasses off?
I'd be banging.
Ving Rhames, right?
Oh, Ving Rhames is great. Awesome. I love that. The I'd be banging scene.
Oh, God, I love that one. What's his name? I'd be banging.
It holds up.
Oh, Lord. Please save this sinner. I'll be banging.
You were too good at that.
I have spent my entire life planning to be a pastor at a Southern evangelical church.
That tracks.
Yeah.
We need to get, let's go find some place. Let's go find a tented house, where they tent for insects and steal the tent and we'll set up at the edge of town.
What if we stole the insects too?
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, use the tent to corral the insects.
It makes everyone itchy, and then you got to cure the spirits.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
The cure is raid.
Lord.
Raid Shadow of Legends. We're not sponsored. We don't be dropping that shit on here.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure anyone can just name that and get paid.
Yeah, we can name whatever the fuck we want. Who cares?
Casper mattresses. You know what? I do sleep on a Casper mattress and it's quite comfortable. Give us money, Casper.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know?
Sponsor us.
I'm looking for a new mattress personally. But
I like a mattress in
purple.
Purple? How do you like it?
It's pretty solid.
Okay.
We have an avocado.
Wait, that's a fucking thing?
Yeah.
That sounds really small and uncomfortable. Where does it go?
Up the butt.
Is there a stone in the middle of it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a Princess and the Pea situation.
Interesting.
I like comfort, but I want a little discomfort.
Yeah, okay. That's why I keep a video chat with Sean open while I sleep. Just uncomfortable enough.
Perfect. Does he know he's on it?
No. So Okay, we enjoyed Gris.
I enjoyed the whole movie.
Yeah, let's break it down. We've got three acts. We've got three things. So it's starting funny. Out with John Goodman.
Yeah. Peter told me, he's like, it's roughly three acts. And I was like, how is that going to be so obvious? And then, like, the second title card came down. I'm like, oh, duh.
Yeah, it's pretty segmented.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
John Goodman, great work.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great in everything. I don't think I've seen John Goodman bad in anything.
He is great in everything. And this is his, I think, only two overlaps with Nick Cage. It's this one and Raising Arizona. Both fantastic, though. Yeah. Oh, stay tuned for John to come back and talk about Raising Arizona in season two, part two.
Unless you don't like him tonight, and then, yeah, I don't know.
Put it in the comments. Tell us to fuck off. Tell John to fuck off.
I mean, we're not going to uninvite him, but you can just look less forward to it.
You could just not tell me the location and or time.
Exactly. Yeah,
generally.
Perfect.
That's why Sean's out of town and we're recording. We didn't tell him the time or location.
It all worked out. We're fine. So we ended up watching this, the three of us, which we haven't done a lot of that.
I guess because somebody decided to have a child.
Yeah. Coward.
Backing out of friendship.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. But it was a lot more fun for me. Both experiences of watching these movies with someone else is way more enjoyable to me. It gets me out of that like note-taking mindset of doing this show and like trying to keep track of shit to talk about.
Well, you're also not allowed to watch it on 1.5 times speed when I'm there. My brain doesn't move fast enough. Like, I'm a big dum-dum. You can't do that.
There's no way I could do that. I also couldn't read the subtitles that fast.
Ugh. You get used to it. It's surprising.
You might. There's no way.
Speed reading.
It is kind of that. I mean, but you're also hearing it at the same time. I don't know. I watch it with headphones when I do that.
Yeah, fair.
Not the best way to consume a movie. Mm-hmm. Don't recommend.
I was going to watch this on an airplane, but I couldn't get my streaming device of choice to work.
Mm-hmm. What'd you watch on the airplane?
Nothing. I practiced Japanese.
Oh.
Turning Japanese?
I think I'm turning Japanese.
I really think so.
It's a song about masturbation.
I never totally understood that as a masturbation reference, but
it's the
squinty eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
I wasn't going to say it. I was just going to do it.
I don't want to reveal too much, but I'm going to say it anyway. When I come, I don't do that.
Are you a wide eye?
You just look.
Hey, what's up, round eye?
Oh yeah, actually.
Okie dokie, Dr. Jones. Hold on to your potatoes.
It's a short round quote. Perfect. Sorry. For Sean. Yeah. Nah, he's looking fit.
I'm less round. I found a third ab.
Hey, all right.
Hide it.
Is it just one big one that goes across?
No, it's weirdly on its back.
It's a weird zigzag thing going on right now.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
You got the Harry Potter of abs.
I'm playing tic-tac-toe with my body.
Very nice.
And losing.
Yes.
All right, so you got Goodman, you got Ving Rhames, and you've got Tom Sizemore.
Yes, like other guy.
The other guy, right. All of them are good in their own regard. I hate Tom Sizemore in this.
Fuck yes.
Oh, that character is so reprehensible.
He's
like, I fucking hate him.
Fucking asshole.
Which is perfect for who he is. He's like, you know,
Tom Sizemore the man.
Yeah. I don't know about
notable
him
asshole
outside of this movie.
I have no idea.
It's just like, I don't know, he pulls it off so well just being that like shit bag. I loved it, and I loved, like, honestly, his that might actually really reflect on me.
Are you censoring yourself?
No, I just got to think about like who I am. Oh. Like, I might be
Nick,
Tom Sizemore's character. I'm Nick. Yeah, okay, I'm back. Yeah, that guy rocks.
Have you ever crouched down behind someone hoping a friend would push another person
over your
back?
Don't ask me that question because you know the answer.
I know. Were you the pusher or were you the stool behind the person?
I could do both. I'm versatile.
At the same time.
Maybe.
That character, Tom Sizemore's character, seemed unrealistically bonkers to me. Like, I couldn't buy into the fact that that was a real person. He was too much of a character, almost, compared to everybody else.
I'm going to just point out that recently, here in Seattle, there was a normal-ass dude who got arrested for assaulting homeless people with an axe.
Fair.
Yeah. Like, these people exist. Like,
I'm also going to point out, in Seattle, there were a couple people who were just arrested for just running down people on the sidewalk in their car, videotaping themselves do it just for funsies.
Is that like a I'm the main character crazy shit?
Yeah. And the game is GTA.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so this exists in a non-internet age, basically. Like, we don't have that social media.
Listen, the tiger was doing something on that computer.
wash your face off, tiger.
He's both the muscle and the computer guy.
Interesting angle.
Yeah, that's too many things.
He's a multifaceted character.
I don't want Ocean's 5.
The budget wasn't very big.
So the thing I noticed this time watching it is, like, Tom Sizemore's character is just looking to hurt someone. So when you see him in the first act and they're picking up Noel and he's calling him Pedro and, like, has no idea who this guy is. He just wants an excuse to fuck someone up. And this is just like a crazy guy that he know he can.
Or he's just using the name Pedro because he never bothered to learn Noel's name.
Yeah. And it's some sort
I think
of, like,
it could have been, like, just
Beaner or something
racially. You know? Yeah. Throwing that on him.
I think either way it works, and just least reprehensible either way.
Both angles are valid. This character is not deep. He's approaching the struggle or the emotional weight of the job differently. He's burning off that kind of stress and trauma through anger and violence, like, versus Nicolas Cage's character, who is definitely, like, internalizing drinking, turning to substance to figure this shit out.
No, like, I mean, all, like, three of them, though, it is about coping, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like Sizemore beats people up. Ving Rhames has God and or being horny and also drinking. And then
John Goodman has beef lo mein,
but he can't have it twice.
No, so, not twice.
Yeah.
Not twice in a row.
No. Right.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think you'd be allowed to have it the following day?
Yeah, I think you just have to.
Yeah,
have a gap
you
day.
You gotta have a skip day.
And also, is there an exception for leftovers? He probably doesn't have leftovers.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Mean.
Look at John Goodman.
Accurate. Sorry, John Goodman. Come on our show.
Yeah, defend your beef lo mein habit.
It's such a strange one because it really doesn't stand out in a lot of ways, but it is also interesting. I mean, it goes all over the fucking place. I mean, there's the Mr. O stuff. There's the drug dealer shit. There's the whole, like,
coma guy.
There's coma guy. Yeah. Mary's dad.
I mean, that's coma guy. Mary's dad's really the through line for this movie, and kind of.
Yeah.
The one person he did manage to save is the one arguably suffering the most. And in the end, he decides to kind of end that.
Yeah, that's true. Like, the one person that he gets to keep alive, he ends up having to take their life. That's really something there.
Hey, excellent timing on that, Sean. Very well done.
That's the worst one.
Yeah, that is absolutely the worst.
I used to have an app on my phone for rap air horn, and I just walk around my job, just be like, burr, 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 burr.
Was that the one that had the, like, old school arcade button for what you had to press to get it?
I think it was something like that.
Yeah,
it
I liked
did
that
like the air horn, and then it also did it have farts? I know it said ham.
Why did it say ham?
I think it was ham in reference to hard as a motherfucker.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hamph?
It's a one word.
Yeah, motherfucker's one word.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. It's not even a hyphen it.
The F is silent. Hard as a motherfucker.
We could add sounds to this. We could make our own soundboard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to turn into, like, shock jocks.
Oh, let's be the new fucking Howard Stern.
Okay. Cool. Then we can get invited on to be vice president for what's his fucking face? RFK Jr.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. His list is bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wacky.
Wasn't Jesse Ventura on there?
Uh-huh.
Jesse Ventura.
The body, baby.
He was
Aaron
the governor
Rogers,
of my state.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is the current wackiest one on there. But yeah.
Is he just throwing, like, do you think he asks these people or is he just, like, throwing names out there?
Oh, I'm sure he's just throwing names out there.
Like, does Aaron Rodgers know that this is happening?
He does, yeah. And I mean, he's also a fucking lunatic and a dick. Is but
it? Yeah, he was spreading like Sandy Hook, like allegedly was spreading Sandy Hook conspiracy.
He's like, right, he's like a truther for Sandy Hook. It's like, fuck you, dude. You heard it here. Fuck Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to keep that in just because that guy fucking sucks.
And fuck Brett Favre.
Yeah, him too.
What's wrong with Brett Favre?
I don't know.
Just he's going through Packers.
Yeah, yeah. Just getting some.
Fuck you, Patrick Mahomes.
You can say that. You're allowed to. Shit. Yeah, I don't know. This movie is really weird for me. It's like watching it again. I like it, but I don't know that I want to watch it again.
But you don't like it like it?
No,
I don't like it like it.
That's a hard thing with this one for me, because it's like I'm not necessarily comfortable watching it. It's sort of like leaving Las Vegas for me. Like, it gets into just like a more serious, like real discussion about like trauma and depression. I love the movies. I love both of them. I'm not going to sit down on a Friday night and throw in something that's like a field downer, but I think it's also like super important in the discussion of Nicolas Cage's career.
I know we talked about it a little bit about how this movie isn't brought up a lot when talking about Nicolas Cage, which is a shame because he is outstanding in this film. Like, his little rise and fall from like just starting to lose it to losing it to murder is a ride.
Yeah, his performance is terrific. He has a really great arc, and he owns it the whole way through. All of his actions are really well and like thought out, like as an actor. It seems like he knew all the way through what his intentions were, and the director supported him throughout, unlike Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with that casting? She is so bad.
I don't know if it's just the casting or just...
Her hair was weird. No, I'm serious. So
I agree.
It changes, too. There was one of the nights her hair was blonde at the roots for like 3 inches or so, and then the rest was black. Like, she was blonde and then dyed it black or something, and it grown out. And then the next day, I think it was all black.
Stress does things to a motherfucker,
I guess. Yeah.
But yeah, she's like the flattest performance in the entire thing. When you've got a like incredibly dynamic group, like even Mark Anthony, is that his name?
Yeah.
Mark Anthony does like a great job as Noel. It's a really surprising performance for a guy who basically doesn't act ever again. And you end up with her in this lead role, or, you know, second role. And she's nothing. I mean, she's a fucking fart in the wind. She is so bland and transparent, and every line delivery is so flat. And I don't understand how a director of Scorsese's caliber ever got her into this role and then thought, like, this is worth keeping.
I'm wondering, like, what's the timeline on their relationship in this situation?
It's 3 nights.
No, personal, like, outside of the film.
Relationship.
Oh, that's right.
Because remember, they were married.
Oh, yeah, you can tell the chemistry from the two of them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just can't remember the timeline on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that either.
I don't think she's a good actress.
No, she's not.
Like, I was looking through her credits, and, like, there's nothing on there that she was good in.
Right. We were talking about this while we were watching it. The only thing I really remember her from was that TV show Medium.
Yeah.
And she was also terrible.
Same thing, just super flat.
Yeah. It's like, okay, that's your only thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, she is easily the weakest point in this entire movie. Like, we have listed off a dozen other interesting characters. Yeah. Even the drug dealer is more interesting. Even the drug dealer's like random lady friend is more interesting.
I had no idea who Mark Anthony was before watching this. Lauren's like, oh yeah, that's Mark Anthony. I'm like, oh, who's that? Apparently he's married to J-Lo or something.
Was for a bit. Yeah. Okay. Like a decent amount of time. I mean, now she's back with Affleck.
Oh, but sure.
It was an Affleck sandwich on Mark Anthony, I'm pretty sure. I regret that and don't.
No, you're wrong. Because people always like, it's a something sandwich when you're like at two things around. It's like, no, you don't. It's not a bread sandwich. The middle thing is the sandwich.
What?
You said it was an Affleck sandwich, but that would make Affleck the bread, and it's not a bread sandwich.
Yeah, he's right.
The thing in the middle is the meat of the sandwich.
I understand that, but it's still a sandwich. If it's not, it's just an open-faced... I mean, I guess it's still a sandwich then, but...
But you wouldn't call it a bread sandwich.
You never call it a bread sandwich.
I would just call it a sandwich because it has two things around a middle thing.
Almost a taco. Taco would make sense.
It's close, but the taco has the connecting bit on the side.
This is a minor language pet peeve of mine. I'm sorry.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I am not getting into this conversation.
I think a hot dog is technically a taco in my argument that I just made. So
that's what I was going to say.
What if the bun breaks?
Sandwich.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why they? Is that why Subway stopped doing the V cuts?
Because it wasn't a sandwich; it was a taco.
Here's your 6-inch taco.
Or I think 12-inch taco. Too difficult for the sandwich artist to maintain.
Yeah.
I don't think
they were true artists.
I don't know. I'm going to maintain.
I hated that little title. Triangle of bread that they would just sort of like shove in the middle of it, though. Fuck that.
Yeah, I don't need that. The wedge. But I will say I am very much on board for the split top bun for a hot dog. And you don't get them on the West Coast. Except in a lobster roll, which we don't get because we don't have lobsters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I do have actually something about this movie I want to talk about. So the movie was directed or was written by Paul Schrader, who we know sucks as a director, but has written a lot of notable films.
Well, he wrote one notable film and he adapted
many,
this film.
Yeah.
He's still, I mean, semantics there.
Yeah. He's got writing credits.
What's a sandwich?
He's got writing credits, but I'm curious what his like are his terrible movies. Are that what his scripts just look like? And he just doesn't know how to edit himself down like on that side of the camera. Like, are his scripts terrible and just good directors like make them better?
I mean, the evidence certainly seems to suggest that.
I mean, who really edits themselves well?
Not us.
Like, I wouldn't.
Not you.
I would be terrific. Like, I don't even edit myself well. I'm not good at it, but I'm going to say it.
What?
Well, I'm going to say it right now.
You're going to edit yourself now? Of all times?
I'm going to edit myself before you can.
No, that's fair. God damn it.
So I looked up Paul Schrader. And, you know, you're talking about how he's written a bunch of good stuff, blah, blah, blah. I think he's written a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he, you know, law of large numbers, a few of them have been good.
Right.
He's got writing credits. He wrote Taxi Driver.
Yeah. Raging Bull.
And Raging Bull.
And Raging Bull, which I don't know if I've actually seen.
Mm. I've never seen either, but I know they're quote unquote good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where does this fall in the good, bad, bad, good, bad, bad, good, bad, bad? Bad, 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 bad. Good.
The finest, your finest work. It's aged well.
That used to be. That was easier when I drank.
It's one of those things where you invented it when you were drunk, so it helps to be drunk to recall it.
Well, John, you get to go first.
I mean, I'd say good. I think it's kind of what we've been circling around. Is it Nick Cage's performance? Is I mean, I don't know if I'd say it's really good. I was going to be like, one if it's his best, but I don't fucking know.
I think it's a B plus or better.
Yeah, that's fair. And the movie's good. I had my qualms. I don't know, misgivings with it, but it's still a good movie in the end. I don't want to watch it again.
It takes a moment. Like, you got to have that feeling to like want to watch it. I don't know what that feeling is.
Suicidal?
Person to person, but
I loved how he wanted to get fired.
Oh,
that whole bit was so funny.
I've literally walked into a boss's like office, set my keys down and be like, I quit. And it's like, he'll be like, no. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, no, you can't quit. It's like, well, I fucked up. You have to like, let me quit. You have to let me quit or fire me. And he's like, no, it's a bigger punishment to keep you on. It's like, fuck you.
And you were there at 9 a.m. the next day.
Yeah, no, I mean, my cube was just like four down from his office.
It is really hard to imagine you working in a cube.
It wasn't so much like a cube job. It was entertainment stuff. It's just where I went to write contracts and like dick around. Oh man, we played a great game. We called it ball papering. So anytime one of my coworkers would leave their computer unlocked, you would jump on real quick and find like a photo of like animal testicles and put it on as their wallpaper and let the screen time out. And then the next time they'd sign on, boom, chimpanzee nuts. Nice.
All right, Sean, what do you think on this one?
I love this movie quite a bit, and I love Nick Cage's performance in it. I think I lean a lot more into the dark comedy. Like, I don't find it as uncomfortable to watch.
I think it's a good. Personally, nobody asked me, but
what do you mean nobody asked you?
Yeah, but
we literally asked you that question.
No. We asked the guest, and then Sean interjected, and so I felt like I had to involve myself. Mm. It's a good performance. I mean, solid. Actually, it's a solid performance by Nicolas Cage. I don't think he lets his energy drop throughout. Like, he's got a good trajectory through the whole film. I don't feel left behind on anything, and I don't feel pulled out by any delivery of his. Fuck her.
She's fine. She's just a bad actress.
She's
fine.
Forgettable. No animosity. If she'd like to come on the podcast and defend herself, more power to her.
Yeah, there you go. Come on the show, Patricia Arquette. Come be very flat.
So long as it fits our schedule, because we're not going to make time.
No.
It's fine. It's a good movie. I like it every time I watch it.
Joe.
Nice segue. Fucking loved it.
Thank you. We can use your reference. The connective tissue on these is that they both say
hookers.
Both of these movies do say that.
Yeah. No, I love that word. It rolls off the tongue. It feels, actually, it doesn't even touch the tongue. It just escapes.
Okay, we do have to talk.
From the throat to the teeth.
Yeah.
Hookers.
You're not supposed to touch their tongues. You don't kiss them.
We got to talk about the blowjob scene in Joe. That is wild.
I like that. That's where we're starting with this movie.
Yeah, why not?
Well, did he even finish? It's the perfect spot to start.
Yeah, he didn't finish. He just kind of lets it go. I love how he winds up to it. Like, what's your name? What's your favorite color? What do you like? This, that, question. Okay, blow me.
You got to feel something. You got to have a personal connection. It is weird, though, seeing you three in my living room from like 150 miles away.
We've only done some crimes.
Crime.
Nick, what did you put in what?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, yeah, you better warm up the sniffer because you're going to want to find out when you get home.
That's why I have dogs.
You're not allergic to shellfish, are you?
I mean, after all that shrimp, I might be now.
Yeah, well, true, yeah. Okay, so Joe, 2013, Nick Cage and nobody else of note. I mean, Ty Sheridan,
yeah.
At his beginning,
Nick Cage plays a brick shit house.
Dude, I forgot until he took his shirt off once he got shot how fucking built he is in this movie.
And like,
and for almost no reason.
No reason. You see his job.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, his job is intense, but like, you see him only walking around like twice doing his job.
I mean, his job is to supervise, mostly.
It ultimately could have been done just like,
yeah, he could have been a schlub.
He could have worn a girdle and just like not been like shirtless for something.
Yeah.
Nick Cage commits.
Like, for 2013, this is a dark horse Nicolas Cage body film.
Yeah. I would say it's a dark horse just in general film for him, but
what else was he doing around that time? The Croods, Rage, Outcast, Left Behind was just after that.
Those are horrible, and he's like a pudge machine in most of those.
Frozen Ground right before it, Stolen, Spirit of Vengeance was 2 years before.
Okay, so he could be riding a little bit of that wave, but
he was not in any shape though in that Spirit of Vengeance.
It was a shape, but yeah.
But it's just like, no, he is like, yeah, he is fucking built in this. He's got like that thing where his, you know, abs are so worked out that they kind of like stick out a bit from his chest. Not that he's pudgy, that he's just got
his
like
abs are sticking out of his chest. I think you're confused about what abs are. I'm going to revisit your three abs real quick.
Yeah, are you talking about two pecs and one ab?
Are
that
any
is
of
your stomach?
Are any of your three abs your penis?
All of them are.
Oh, now it makes sense.
Yeah, I absolutely understand now.
Absolutely.
I watched this movie last night and I forgot how sad it is.
Oh, it's so sad. Yeah. But it's sad because of how much you care and connect throughout the movie. Like Ty Sheridan crushes it.
Mm-hmm.
Even like Gary, the dad, like you start to feel a little bit.
I don't know if you all know this. I was reading about this movie. The guy that played him, the dad, was that guy. He was basically like homeless and shit.
Yeah.
And like he played this, he did one other thing and then killed himself, I think.
The director,
he drank himself to death.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The director was super big on finding like local like unknowns mm-hmm. to fill things out. The wino was Shorty's dad. Shorty from the crew.
Yeah.
The tree crew. Like they were just the wino had like two other credits in his career.
God, that's very cool. That scene with the wino is so
man, that's a tough one.
So brutal.
This whole movie is pretty brutal.
It's raw. It's a raw movie. But the performances from everybody in the supporting cast are just incredible. For people like you've never heard of and will never hear of again, they just crush it. I think it's an authenticity thing, and that's what the director goes for. And he found some really good performers for this movie.
Like the environment as well. The setting was very evocative of that. I actually didn't realize this took place in Texas until I was reading about it, but that kind of country down home sort of place.
Yeah.
Yeah. This could have been like Alabama or something easily. And you would have not thought twice about it. Right. Yeah. Like it has that sort of like Southern Gothic, you know, kind of fucked up redneck shit charm.
Yeah. It's very like Tennessee Williams or Faulkner.
Gary Faulkner.
Man.
It was the first name that hit my mind.
Yeah.
I knew he was not talking about that, but so Faulkner just means Gary to me.
Right. I mean, two things that really, really stand out to me. The performances are excellent in this, again, from those kind of unknown people, and it's filmed beautifully.
Yeah. On the performances, it's weird that like Nicolas Cage gets outshined in performance on a couple occasions in this film. Like he does a great job, but there's some line readings that come across as line readings. Whereas I don't think there's anybody in the supporting cast that I didn't believe 100% on every line.
Like could have just been like pulled off the street as a real
person.
So
conversational. Yeah. So like everybody felt it.
I get the feeling that a lot, especially with a lot of the ancillary cast and a lot of their dialogue, I don't feel like that was so much scripted, like maybe a very loose script, but a lot of that seemed really ad-libbed and real authentic, to the point where some conversations, there's so much, I mean, it's very natural conversation where people repeat themselves a lot and, you know, just go back and forth and keep saying the same things to the point where I'm like, all right, move on. I'm tired of hearing this. But I think when listening to like Nick Cage's lines, which are very scripted and are more line reads than I feel like a lot of other people's stuff is.
Yeah, I guess it could definitely come across with like the crosstalk that happens, especially like amongst the crew and people around like Coleman's, the grocer.
I love that old guy.
How? Yeah, I know.
With his helmet.
How that kind of conversation, like in a film, you kind of say like, oh, come on, like you're just talking, you're repeating yourself, nothing's happening. But in real life, that's how we talk to each other.
For sure.
Yeah.
I edit this thing.
Yeah.
You arguably have to listen to it the most.
That is true.
You're our greatest fan.
over and over.
But no, like the crew, I mean, again, it feels like it. The thing that really stands out to me is it feels like real people. And then what is almost weird about the movie is that Nick Cage is in it, because it does sort of like, oh, this is a movie versus like, I am just voyeuristically watching like a fucked up small town. Cause like the work crew with Ty Sheridan as they're like explaining shit feels exactly how it would really go. If someone was like, all right, young, you know, whippersnapper, like here's how you do the thing. You know, I'm going to show you the ropes. And like, it feels so fucking authentic. Like every bit of it, it's really impressive.
Yeah. There's one scene in specifically I think of when I was watching it this time, where the veneer of the character of Joe just disappeared into Nick Cage being kind of Nick Cage, which is when he gets pulled over by the two cops and he's challenging them to a fight. And I'm like, okay, I've stopped believing this character, and this read doesn't feel at all like Joe anymore. This is just Nick Cage like hamming it up.
But the counterpoint to that is that second time when it's just the one cop.
Oh my
that
God.
Feels so fucking authentic, where he looks like he's about to cry and he's like, stop fucking with me.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
like that one feels real.
No, that one feels real. It's that first one where he's like joking around and like, you know, I'll pop you, like put your gun down.
Yeah. Yeah, that had a little more ham in it.
And this movie is also like, you learn little things about this character throughout. Like, you don't learn about his time in prison till like after that scene either. So you don't really know about his history with the police when we see that scene the first time.
I think the other thing I liked about it too, so the bad guy, Willie, like what a fucking piece of shit that guy is.
I went through a windshield. I don't give a fuck.
But I love that there's just like pre-established beef, you know?
It's fucking small town beef.
Exactly.
That is the main antagonism or the main like
you made me look like a bitch by slapping me at the bar.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shoot you.
In front of my boys and in front of some ladies. And I, you know, I wasn't even aiming at you. I love that he says that. He's like, I wasn't even aiming at you. It was just a warning shot. And I fucking shot you. You're a fucking shit shot, Willie.
Warning shots either go into the ground or straight up in the air to hit somebody later.
Yeah. But you know what? He went through a windshield at 4 a.m. He doesn't give a fuck.
Doesn't give one fuck.
I love that line, and I love that he says it. That's his fucking tag.
Over and over.
He's just like, I went through a windshield at 4 a.m, and I don't give a fuck.
It's mostly his last words, too.
That's true. He gets through most of it. So, John, you'd never seen this, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Like most people,
it's true. Although it's interesting because this is one of the higher rated movies that he has. I mean, for a pretty good reason, but, you know.
In the time that it came out, most people were very heavily discrediting Nick Cage's, like, career.
Well, and you look at what John read off as his other, like, ilk at the time.
Yeah, it is literally a diamond in the rough. It is. Yeah. It's a hard one to pick out and say, like, and it looks so low budget. Like, if you watched a trailer for it or anything like that, it's like, oh no, that's going to be a direct to TV or whatever ignorable film. But it's not.
In Nick Cage's performance and a little bit of the character, this made me think of like a precursor to Pig almost. Like, they feel very similar, and like, it's almost like, this wasn't as good as Pig, but it kind of like gave him some experience, or, you know, almost practice at it. Granted, Pig doesn't come until 10 years later, but still.
It's a terrific dive into like a deeply emotional but withdrawn character. Kind of heart of gold for an outcast. I wish we could have gotten more roles in that time frame like this, but.
Right, because it shows that he still has the chops, right? Like, it's kind of like
he
never went anywhere, right? Yeah, exactly.
Didn't have a Boston accent, though, so.
That's true. Minus 10 points.
That would have been great, though, if he did. I can't do a Southern accent, so I'm just going to do the Boston accent.
Yep.
Yeah. I love his relationship with Earl, the cop.
Yeah, they're like knuckleheads from old times, right? Mm-hmm. And Earl became the fucking chief of police or whatever. And then Cage is a dude who went to prison.
Oh, you beat the shit out of one of my cops. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
Earl insinuates that maybe Cage wants to go back in, like Joe wants to go back in. Because, I mean, Joe kind of has that aimless, like, he's just trying to help everyone out, but isn't really doing much for himself.
A little institutionalized.
I mean, in his quiet moments at home, he's just drunk on the couch. And even, like, his one, the romantic interest is just a young woman who has a shitty home life and is safer there and is clearly into him, and he's, you know, it's convenient and he wants to help her.
I think he's definitely emotionally distant in that relationship. He does like call and like try to follow up. Like he's just not good at connecting. And I mean, I'm not probably the best person to speak to it, but like, some people who experience things like prison or maybe like military life, there's just like a buffer between, like, they don't feel comfortable connecting with a human like that emotionally and like privately.
Yeah,
he's definitely separating his pain from somebody else.
Well, I think that's what's so great about his relationship with Gary, is like, that's finally kind of, that's coming down for both of them. Gary gets a father figure and Nick Cage finds like an, and Joe finds an actual friend.
Yeah. Man, I continue to love their buddy scene where they just out, drink some beers, talk about cool faces. And
can I buy that beer? No, friends don't buy beers from each other. Yeah, you can have this
you
beer.
You can have the beer.
Keep an eye out, though.
I love
for
it.
For the dog or the cops? Both. Fuck.
It's so, like, that warms my heart. I love that scene. Yeah. That is such a nice, nice scene.
Nothing is better than the cool face, though.
Oh, that's cool so face. Good. You just, like, take all that pain, you put it on your face, and then you smile. You smile through the pain.
It's so, like, it's such an awkward, like, when you see them practice on each other, their faces look so awkward, but then they're talking to that one woman about the dog, and he's got it plashed on his face the whole time, and I'm just like, what the fuck must this
when the dog looks like thinking? A cow, you mean? Is yes. It looks yes. Like a cow? You mean the dog looks like a cow?
Well, most dogs look like cows.
But lots of dogs do.
I would say cows look like dogs.
Interesting take. Hot take.
Just two drunk dudes trying to find a dog. I love it. I love that whole section. You can see that they like each other so much.
Yeah.
The chemistry between Nicolas Cage and Ty are just incredible.
Yeah. Can we talk about how gross their axe poison shooter things are?
Super gnarly.
That's like a super villain weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And it's just like constantly like shooting poison, and it's probably not very sharp.
Yeah, no, and assume it's like, don't get that in your eye.
Yeah.
It's like, oh fuck.
Yeah. I mean, it's going everywhere and nobody wears eye protection.
I love
like
that.
Seriously,
it's made by some lady in her kitchen or some shit.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some gnarly ass poison from some weird mom.
Yeah. Shorty's grandma or whatever. Yeah, that was wild. I love that it's like left arm pumping, right arm swinging. It's just such a weird, also like such a weird concept. The timber companies pay them to kill trees
so they can
cut them down. Yeah. But it's like,
no. They want to get rid of those. Well, yeah. So they can fell them, but then they don't use it for wood. They just,
they just want to clear out the land
for better
it's
wood.
Texas. It's presumably for ranching.
They want to plant oaks. They want to plant like hardwood that nobody wants those trees, but they can't cut down healthy trees. So they hire these guys to come in and kill the trees so they can cut them down so they can plant trees that they can use.
Presumably that's illegal too, I would guess.
I would.
It seems like it would be. I mean, probably. He did seem to be kind of on the up and up, but also, I don't know.
Everything was cash. It
feels like an illegal business.
It seems weird that it's oak, because in the end they're planting pine trees, but
that's true. That could have been a different endeavor.
Yeah.
I mean, I just said a wood. I don't know for sure if it was oak.
What? Well, I mean, oak is a very big thing in the Texas like meat smoking community. Post oak is a very popular use.
Mesquite too.
Mesquite's good.
That's a gnarly looking tree. Have you ever seen those? They're gross.
It's a bush.
Right. Good point.
And if you'd like to see more bush, follow me on Pornhub. I can't get it to work. I'm really trying hard. I log into Pornhub every day, guys. Trust me.
And that's why you're trying hard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not trying soft.
I'm sick of your flaccid attempts, Nick.
In the matrix of good, good, bad, good, bad, good, good, bad, good, bad, 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 bad.
I was really hoping this was a matrix segue, but that's fine.
I thought it was too.
Well, it was pointed out to me by Peter. This isn't a Venn diagram, which is how I described it for, you know, over a year.
I mean, we let it ride together, so
we're very comfortable being wrong.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, what are our 26 listeners gonna say?
Come at me, internet.
Oh, fucking Horn once I challenged him on something once. I don't remember. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's easy to challenge him on things. And his defense was, have you ever really changed your mind about anything, as if that was going to stump me? And I just looked at him like, dude, I'm wearing a dress. What do you want? Yes, I've changed my mind on things.
I'm fucking 40 years old. Yeah, I've changed my mind.
But yeah, John, where do you put this on the matrix? The grid, the
solidly good. Yeah, I would recommend this movie to other people with a trigger warning. Yeah, no, this is great.
I agree. Yeah, this is one movie that I was ecstatic to learn about. It stuck with me. The performances are terrific. The story is just really good. It's a ride. It's got drama, comedy, mild action. It's got it all, man. A little bit of romance. I mean, if you like,
are you
hookers.
Talking about the blowjob?
Yeah, I'm talking about hookers. That's mild romance.
All right, fair enough. Sean, where do you put this one?
This one's it's a great film, and it's a largely great performance from Nick Cage and the whole cast. This is a solidly good movie in a time where Nick Cage wasn't known for that. So I put this one really high up there for me.
I agree with all that. I think I had forgotten how much I really enjoy this movie, even though it is a sad, depressing fucking movie to watch and brutal.
Yeah,
but it's really excellent, and it is worth watching whether you like Nick Cage or not.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's worth noting at this point in the conversation that the movie does contain a lot of scenes of abuse.
Yeah, it's rough. It's got some rough stuff for sure. So it brings up the question: these are two really good, you know, respectable movies up against each other. What do you guys think?
John, as our guest, you are
contractually obligated to give your opinion that we don't care.
Yeah. We will override if necessary.
Yes. Your opinion ultimately doesn't matter, but we want to hear it.
As is usually the case. Yeah. I mean, I would solidly say Joe. It's not even really a question for me. I will readily admit that Bring Out the Dead is a solid movie, can recommend, but I think Joe's kind of on a different level.
Yeah, if I was talking to people and I wanted to just address like a Nicolas Cage film for recommendation, I think Joe holds the most water. It's just so good. Like, if you ever think that Nicolas Cage is dropping the ball, everybody around him does such a good job of just maintaining this film. And like, I say that, but Nicolas Cage fucking crushes it in this movie, too. Like, he's doing awesome. It's a great movie. I love Joe. I'm all in on Joe. And I love Bringing Out the Dead, but this was just a one-sided matchup.
It's a different performance from Joe. Like, I look at that character and I'm like, that's not necessarily what I would. I don't think Nicolas Cage so much when I see that performance. Like, it is really good acting on his part, whereas with Bringing Out the Dead, you know, I see a lot more of Nick Cage than I necessarily do that character. For me though, Joe is the much better and stronger film, but it's not one I'm likely to go back to and like rewatch for funsies or just in general. Like it's a very specific film. Whereas I think Bringing Out the Dead is something I could put on and enjoy. I can enjoy it in bite-sized chunks. I could just take one of the vignettes or just watch the whole thing again. So in terms of what I would want to rewatch and come back to again, I think probably Bringing Out the Dead.
Mm-hmm. And so it comes to me. Finally. No, I have a really hard time. Damn it. I have a really hard time with this because, like, Bringing Out the Dead is, in a lot of ways, a more interesting movie to show to people because of the vignette aspect of it, the three stories, the craziness that changes between each of these major actors that you're paired up with Nick Cage. I don't like it as much. I don't like Schrader. And I am thrilled, Sean, that you give me this opportunity to bag Schrader one more time. I can't pick it. I have to go with Joe. I think it's a more beautiful movie. I think it's a really depressing but brilliant shot of like small town southern drama, family struggles, homelessness, everything. It's fucking powerful.
Windshields
at 4 a.m.
Not giving a fuck.
Yeah. No fucks given at all. I love Bringing Out the Dead, and it has its place in this pantheon for sure. But like for me, it's got to be Joe.
Like I said, I think it's the better movie. So of the two.
Well, how about one real quick? Go Joe. G.I. Joe.
I thought you were talking about orange hand soap.
Oh, Gojo. Oh, yeah. Also
I
good.
I do love Gojo. I'll rub great. It on everything.
Ooh,
it's a little abrasive for some spots.
Yeah. How else do you get that butthole super?
That's the only way Joe comes.
What do we got coming up next time, Peter?
Next up, we've got, I think it's Mandy and Mom and Dad with my friend and voice actor, Brian Kim McCormick. So that should be pretty cool.
Oh, his audio better be on point.
No, it's going to be terrible.
Good.
Yeah.
Because we're in charge.
Rude, and I appreciate it.
It's his job. We're not paying him. He doesn't have to put in that much effort.
That's true. That's fine.
Also, this is going to be one of those rare ones where I'm just going to be like, just come for the jokes. I think it's safe to say, at least I know I'm going to vote for in that one already.
Rude. Mom and Dad deserves more love.
How do you know it's not Mom and Dad?
Oh, good point. Keep them guessing.
Because it's Sawzall.
Okay. Sawzall versus Chainsaw.
Oh, yeah.
Chainsaw.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, super right. Long Chainsaw. Super cool. Super long Sawzall. The blades just bend. Trust me.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I also feel like I'm predisposed to which one is going to win. I don't want to watch that gross-ass fucking movie again.
Which one?
Mandy.
Oh, man. It's so fucking.
I'm so excited for it.
It's good. I'm looking forward to having fresh eyes on it.
I have like, watched it boy. Outside of the podcast since watching it last, and it.
All right. I'm back on board.
Yeah, we'll find some good drugs.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I do think that
maybe
would help.
We'll find some bad drugs.
Ooh, actually, that might be better.
Yeah, let's have a bad trip and watch Mandy.
Like weird, gross biker drugs.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy some drugs.
Do you have any
down
goo?
On 3rd and Pike.
Do you have goo drugs?
I don't even know what I'm gonna get for us.
Fuck yeah! All
it's
right.
Gonna be butt drugs.
Well, naturally,
yeah. One drugs, please.
Nothing self-administered. We'll have to like human centipede it into each other.
Perfect.
And I'm glad to bring back human centipede again.
Thank you, John. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.
Anything you want to pitch right now? You can. It can be anything. You have a platform.
I'm gonna pitch platforms in general.
Nice.
They're good to have.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Thank you all for listening. We are on social media. You'll find us. It's Cage Match Pod or Cage_Match_Pod. We are on Patreon if you do want to support us.
If you haven't
us.
Found us yet, you're not. You clearly don't want to.
You also can't find the comments. No one can because no one wants to talk to us. But yeah, thank you to our Sparkle buddies, Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, and Adam, and our Cage Dancers, Ira, John. That's you.
That's me.
Freeman and Lance. And, Nathan.
Nathan.
We love you guys.
Nathan has joined the exclusive club of someone who, like, randomly messages me quotes from our podcast.
Oh yeah, it's a real special thing.
We should add him to the super fan club chat, which is really just Josh.
I want to be in that chat. I regularly text each of guys about this.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Hey, Peter, the producer.
Yes. Ooh, that's a cage. This could be a cage dancer perk.
Ooh, a special perk. Yeah. I like that.
Behind the scenes access.
Maybe a Discord chat. For cage dancers.
With Craig recording everything.
And Craig records everything for a crime.
Yeah. Keep it cool, guys.
Yeah. Fucking Craig, you narc.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Do, 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 do.
Bye bye. So Charlotte loves scatting. She loves just noises. So one day I put on Scatman. And I've never watched that video before.
It's wild.
He's way older than I expected.
I don't think I've ever seen it now that I think about it.
Yeah. No, she was fine. She didn't care. She was like, whatever. I only like it when Nick scats.
But she calls you Nick?
Yeah.
Not daddy?
Yeah, no. Only Wallace calls me daddy.
Yeah, I say insightful things sometimes.
We're going to edit that out.
Yeah. Just full mute track for Sean.
Yeah, Sean's just going to be like, penis, 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 penis.
Yeah, say penis just once for me, Sean.
Penis.
Thank you. That's all I need.
I can't wait to hear the outro sting on this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, you think you'd have enough isolated audio of me saying penis from this podcast?
That's actually a really good point. I should have that one of all the words in spades.
A penis supercut.
Yeah, right. Penis, 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 moonlight, penis.
Hey guys, you know what I got?
God damn, man. The sad trombone. Fuck you, Sean.
Fuck you, Daryl.
Is this a new feature?
Now I have to put it in, you dick.
No, it's on Discord.
It's only when we have a remote guest and predominantly Daryl.
It's only Daryl. Daryl's the only one.
Just once, you should give each of them a chance.
Ooh, editing task. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I like that. We can do special episodes.
I say a chance. It's more like a chore.
My week will be the week that you get a completely raw cut.
Like, zero edits.
No edits. It's like,
hey, you guys did
3-hour podcast. Yeah.
No one fucked up once, I promise.
Weirdly enough, I just cut out all your mics except me. And it's just me responding to shit nobody understands. And it's honestly probably the best episode we ever put out.
Like, all right, RFK is going to reach out to you. Yeah, this is going to be
probably
great.
You know,
turns out Nick's the only one that was actually here the whole time.
I'm going to be real fucking pissed when I'm on the ticket with RFK and you guys don't vote for us.
Yeah, well, get used to it.
I'm expecting at least 3 votes.
The 3 of us?
What about yourself? You've got RFK and yourself, so you just need one more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we can bank on Josie either.
I'm going to hope that Pete's on my side.
Pete will probably vote for you.
Yeah.
If nothing else, Pete for the joke.
I don't think Pete would vote for you.
Yeah, he's pretty blue.
That's true.
You could probably get Horn to do it.